Austin Brown, Dr. Austin Brown, Brown's Advanced Care Pharmacy, joining us this morning. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I wish that we were hanging out in the studio together still.
Yeah. The front door's locked, so
yeah.
If you have a key. You know,
yeah, I come through the window, but I think it's locked for a pretty good reason.
Yeah. Have you guys been busy?
Oh, yes, sir. We certainly have. Always keeping it busy and keeping track of how the virus is trending, and we're seeing cases on the rise and making sure that our pharmacies and our teams are in a good spot to respond to that and do what we can to help keep people safe but keep providing services for Jackson.
Hey, two topics today. Let's get maybe the short one out of the way. Shingles, I talked to somebody the other day that I think they thought they had COVID because they had a rash. Turned out to be shingles. They were pretty surprised or stunned with that diagnosis.
Oh yeah, interesting. Yeah, there is. The shingles, the rash is one of the telltale signs for shingles. Can start in lots of different areas on the body. A common place is it starts on sometimes people's back, center of the back, and can work its way around. But it manifests and shows in lots of different ways. And the best way to protect against getting the shingles is getting the shingles vaccine so that that virus does not pop up.
Yeah. How do we catch that, Austin?
So that's... The shingles virus is something that is similar to the chickenpox virus. So sometimes it's something when we're kids, we're exposed to it, and then that virus can be dormant in the body. And then sometimes as we age and become adults, that disease can come back in the form of shingles. It is something that can be contagious in certain stages. And when people are having a rash, and sometimes they will get some kind of nodules that look like they have a fluid on them or kind of becomes a crust. And when those nodules are open or on the body and people are exposed to them and they might touch them or come into contact with them, they can be contagious that way.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times shingles is something that comes about because we had chickenpox when we were children. And then the virus presents itself again when we're adults.
Mm-hmm. So what, not a lot you can do, or is there something you can do once you get
The best way to work on preventing getting the shingles is to get the shingles vaccine. So adults over the age of 50 now are recommended to get the new shingles vaccine called Shingrix. It's a two-dose series, and you get the first dose, and then you have a 2 to 6 month period where you can get that second dose, and then you're done with that and you're vaccinated from shingles from there on out.
Mm-hmm.
We did have another vaccine that was on the market before the new one that was not getting the results that we wanted to. It was not as effective as we'd hoped. And so we developed a new vaccine that's had much better response. And that's something that your pharmacies, your local pharmacies, would be able to get for you.
But once you get it, do you just have to suffer it out, or is there some treatment that would be helpful?
Good question. Yeah, there are some antiviral medications that we can use to try to tamp down the virus. A lot of it is also around treating the symptoms. Unfortunately, shingles is very painful, so we might use... And it develops, and I mentioned it develops in the back a lot of times, and there's a lot of thoughts that virus has to do with the nervous system. So people feel like they have burning pains or tingling pains that are similar with certain types of nerve pain. So a doctor might prescribe some type of medication to help with that nerve pain while you're dealing with the virus. But in terms of that, we can treat some of the symptoms and we can use some medications to try to tamp it down, but there's not really a cure for it to make it go away. But there are things that we can do to help make it less severe if you do start developing symptoms from it. The best way to help avoid it in the first place is getting that vaccination.
Okay, let's talk about COVID, because a lot of talk about the vaccine, and this is not your normal vaccine, is it?
Yeah, it's made a little bit differently. And the way that this one has been developed is it's an mRNA, which stands for messenger RNA vaccine. And most vaccines, the way that they're made is they put a weakened form of a virus or a bacteria into our bodies. But this mRNA vaccine, what it does is it actually teaches our cells to make a harmless piece of protein. It's called the spike protein that's found on the coronavirus. And the thought process behind that is when a virus enters the cells of our body, it turns that cell into kind of a factory for more viruses, and different parts of the cell get turned into different parts of a factory, and they make different parts of the virus, and then the virus gets put all together, and then that cell breaks or bursts or dies, and then that virus goes into the rest of the body and finds more cells to make more, turn them into little machines. So what this vaccine does is it teaches the cells to make a harmless piece of protein that actually gets displayed on the outside of the cell, and then when that happens, the body doesn't recognize that protein, and then it builds that immune response to it. So the COVID vaccine is not a live virus vaccine, and it doesn't affect any parts of the human DNA structure, but that's a different approach to making a vaccine.
So is this kind of a first in the United States?
It is. Currently, there's no licensed mRNA vaccines that are in the United States. However, that being said, researchers have been studying and working with this type of vaccine for a long time. And the main thought process behind it is that technology to develop a vaccine in this manner, it actually speeds up the process, because you can use more readily available materials in the lab. We don't have to work so much with cultures to develop different parts of a virus. We're able to develop it a lot quicker, which is part of the reason why we may have seen this vaccine come to market so much quicker than other ones we have in the past, on top of some of the other regulatory channels that have been excused. But mRNA vaccines have been looked at before for the flu shot. They've looked at it for the Zika virus, for the rabies virus. And it's something where we're looking at it, not just for COVID, but it might be a way to create a vaccine that can provide protection for multiple diseases in the future. So you could get one shot and be vaccinated for multiple different diseases, which would cut down on the number of times you have to get poked at the pharmacy.
That would help the cause. Now, do we know at all what the effects of this vaccine will be, or we're just, it's kind of a wait and see?
It's a good question. Yeah, there's a lot of things going around right now. You know, how safe is it? This happened really quickly. What does that mean in terms of, is it something that we can trust? And I mentioned before that there were certain aspects of the vaccine making process that were expedited, so to speak. Some of the regulatory stuff, some of the initial approval parts, those are things that the FDA has looked at and said, okay, we can speed that process along. One of the things they have not compromised in terms of things that they're cutting the corner, for lack of a better term, is the safety protocols. There's a great, great article I was reading the other day, and I've forgotten the name of the researcher who was discussing this off the top of my head, but they brought up a wonderful point, and I absolutely agreed with it, is everybody is looking for a solution to get us back to the way that we can go back to living our regular lives. So in terms of a vaccine company or a government or a research division cutting the corner from a safety policy standpoint, ultimately it does nobody any good. Everybody wants wants this to be safe. They want it to be effective. We cannot afford to have a vaccine that cuts that corner and maybe makes it so it's not safe just for the sake of having one.
Sure.
So a lot of the powers that be understand that, you know, rolling the dice on safety is not going to help anybody. So that's been something where they've really, really looked at making sure that those protocols remain in place and we are able to get a safe vaccine to the public.
Well, we heard the big story yesterday. The Pfizer vaccine was approved in the UK, but still nothing here in the United States.
Yes, that's correct. The Pfizer product was approved in the UK, and I know that the FDA is still being diligent on their approval process. There's meetings come up within, I believe at the end of this week, there's going to be some committees that are meeting to discuss the Pfizer product, and then the following week, they're going to be looking at the Moderna product. So we're getting there, but yes, that was a big thing to have the UK say that they're approving that, and orders are getting ramped up across the globe.
So the big question, how will you guys be involved, Austin? The pharmacies, the local pharmacies, they've got to play a pretty big role in this?
Oh, you better believe we're going to be there. So our market partners are working directly with the CDC to make sure that pharmacists and pharmacies are part of the solution. Pharmacy has gotten a lot of positive reviews in terms of how we've been able to deliver healthcare services to the public through that, just like any other sector of the healthcare team. And pharmacists are the most accessible healthcare providers. And when it comes to a public health emergency and vaccinations, we've got to be at the table for those types of discussions. You know, that's really part of our bread and butter now as a profession. And so Advanced Care and our affiliated pharmacies will be part of administering those vaccines. We don't have the details of when we'll be receiving them at this time. There's still a lot of logistical questions that are coming down the pipeline in regards to who's going to get it first. Can it be stored properly? The Pfizer product in particular requires an ultra cold storage that a lot of pharmacies do not have.
Right.
So what does allocation of that product look like? And then in terms of, you know, the dosing schedule, it's a two-dose series for the majority of the products that are being researched. How is that going to work? And in terms of having enough of the product for a second dose, are we going to have it in stock when people are needing it? And, you know, we talked about shingles earlier when the shingles vaccine came out. That was a big issue because people were getting their first dose, and then that second dose was unavailable. Nobody had it. If we do that with a COVID vaccine, what does that look like in terms of efficacy? And those are questions that we just don't have the answers to because there's no data to tell us one way or the other. So there's still a lot of things that are in the works, but you can bet your bottom dollar that pharmacies will be involved and Advanced Care will be one of them.
Yeah, it'll be where would you get the vaccine? How would that be, I guess, distributed with the fact that you need these specialized freezers? We had a story on that earlier this week.
Yeah, and those are the questions in terms of where we're going to be able to get them and how vaccines will be transported and allocated that are still in the works, so mm-hmm. I don't have a good answer for that at this time. When some of the other products come down the line and get approval, some of them do not require that ultra cold storage, and they'll be able to be stored in other ways that are more accessible in a regular freezer or refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, it's more likely that majorities of pharmacies will be administering and waiting for that product because that's something that they can safely have and store effectively. We certainly don't want to get into a situation where pharmacies and different healthcare providers have a vaccine just to have it, but they can't store it appropriately, and now it's ineffective, and we're wasting doses that could otherwise be used to help people. We certainly don't want to get in a situation like that. So I anticipate that as more of the products become available and approved, then we will start to see allocation of some of those other products with different types of storage requirements being the ones that we'll have on the pharmacy shelves.
What have you heard, Austin? You talk to a lot of patients. What's the biggest difference between having the flu and having COVID? Is it this lack of taste?
That is probably, in terms of the symptoms that one might experience from flu and COVID, that is the one telltale sign that is very distinguishable for COVID. In terms of people and patients asking about symptoms, one of the ones that we've been hearing a lot of in terms of initial symptoms is that loss of smell, loss of taste. That is the distinguishing one. The flu virus does not have that listed as a main symptom. And I know we've talked about that before, especially in flu season now. Mm-hmm. It can be sometimes hard to distinguish what it is and what the symptom is. And that's something at the pharmacy. We do have point-of-care testing. We are able to administer point-of-care tests for flu. And we're able to at least rule out one of those. COVID testing is something else that we're looking at getting involved with still, especially as cases continue to increase and we might need to have availability for more tests. But ultimately, if you have questions about your symptoms, call the pharmacy and we can at least help point you in the right direction. And if you're experiencing a lot of flu symptoms and you want to rule out something, we're able to at least do that for the flu at the pharmacy.
Great info today from Austin Brown, Brown's Advanced Care Pharmacy. And as Austin mentioned, you'll always take a phone call and answer a question.
That's what we're here for, Greg. We're happy to do it.
Yeah. What's the hotline there?
517-750-2180.
Thanks, Austin.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Austin Brown, Brown's Advanced Care Pharmacy on Robinson Road.